Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Megan McCann, who is a business strategy coach, co-founder of the Soul Success and Soul Success Summit. She's a meditation and mindset teacher and a serial entrepreneur. She's also a good friend of mine. Hello.
Hello. So good to see you, Ebony. Thank you. I was just with you in Santa Barbara.
I know. I mean, it wasn't any time recently because time flies, right?
And you were just in Bali and Spain and
I know. Living it up. Yeah, I'm always somewhere, which is nice. I have a question. What does adulting or being an adult mean to you?
Oh gosh, wow. I don't know if I have the right answer because I don't know if I ever will be an adult. But I guess the first thing that comes to mind is being more responsible. And it's funny because I have two little girls. And when my husband Luke and I found out we were pregnant, we were both in our 20s and I'm 3 years older than him. I think he was 26 and I was 29. And we just looked at each other and we were like, holy shit, we can't even take care of ourselves. How are we going to take care of a baby? So I feel like I'm still trying to figure out what adulting means. And I don't know if I'll ever really be able to figure it out, because as I get older, I find that feeling more like a kid, it is more alignment for me, mm-hmm. having more fun. And, but it's, to me, it's being more responsible, taking care of the shit that needs to get taken care of, whether or not we like it, the things that we got to do, you know, like paying the bills and, you know, dropping the kids off at school and making sure that they're signed up for camp on time and paying taxes and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I totally get that. And I also am like, well, what if we get to change the face of adulting, right? Like, because we are adults, and it gets to be fun. It gets to be empowered. It gets to, like, I get to be in Bali and Spain and Santa Barbara and hang out with people like you. And we get to choose what our reality looks like. And for me, that's like what adulting is really about, right? It's that choice.
Well, I love that. And I love that I almost get a sense of it, you're redefining what adulting means. And I've kind of been on this path too, because I have my parents who are flipping amazing. They got married when they were 18 and they've been married for almost 50 years. They just celebrated their anniversary. And now that they're like empty nesters, the kids are grown, they have 10 grandkids, they're doing more of the things that kids would do, right? And then I look at my in-laws who live here in Sun Valley, Idaho, and God, they have a better social life than my husband and I. And anytime we're like, hey, can you watch the kids? We want to go camping. They're like, no, we have this party. We're hosting 30 people. They're coming over and we're going to be playing bingo and we're going to be, you know, doing all the lawn games. I'm like, you guys have so much fun. So I don't think adulting, I think the description that I gave you is kind of like our culture and how we define adulting is like being responsible and AKA being boring. And so I found myself going down that path because when I was married and when I got married and became a mother, I felt like I didn't want to disappoint my kids or my parents or my husband. Mm. So it was almost as if I was trying to pretend to be somebody that I wasn't, like, you know, hiding the tattoos and no more parties and no more drinking and no more swearing. And then I just looked at myself and I was like, this is not me. And this is not fun. So I love that you're investigating this word.
Yeah. And because, like, okay, so for me, like, we met at the Soul Success Summit, right? And Soul Success is this incredible thing that you've built, okay? And it came from a desire. And one of the things that you shared that I loved the most at the weekend when we were at the summit was around, what do you stand for? Because when you're in this place of like, me, right? Like, what's my brand about and what my ambitions and like, what do I want for myself? It's boring. To me, that's a little bit about adulting, right? Like, if it's all about responsibility, like, how do I show up and what do I stand for? And when you turn that around and you talked about like, well, what do you stand for? Like, what is it that you want to, how do you want to make a difference in the world? What is it that's truly important to you? And how can you call other people into that? Like, actually, when we become that kind of adult, or we adult with that orientation, then at least my experience is we attract other like-minded people, and then it can be really fun, and it gets to be kind of kick-ass and kind, or fun and responsible at the same time, rather than it having to be one or the other.
Mm. Yeah. And another thing that comes up is, you know, with your podcast and when you spoke at the summit, you were so unapologetic about your story and your past, and you owned it. Mm. And I think today we put so much pressure on kids and adults to believe a certain thing, to look a certain way, and to fall within a certain box. And I find, like I was saying before, when I put pressure on myself to fit within a certain box, to say the right thing, to get approval from other people, I'm so disconnected from who I really am. And so one of the biggest takeaways that I got from when you spoke and you talked about all of these things and you owned it is like, you're giving other people permission to do that too. And to not have to hide or feel ashamed, but to really own it. And it's so much more fun when we can really step into that version of ourselves that is unapologetic, that can curse if they want to, if it feels good, and they can, you know, show their tattoos if you want to show cleavage, like whatever, but you own it in a way where you're not trying to like impress, but it just feels good, it feels aligned. And I think that's something we really get to live and learn by.
When you were talking before, you talked about how when you became a wife and a mother, you didn't want to let your partner down, you didn't want to let your kids down, you didn't want to let your parents down. At what point did it become about not letting yourself down?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. I don't even know. I don't know if it was a certain point, but more of like a journey, right? Yeah. Like even in my business, like when I started my business a decade ago, and I felt like if I wanted people to listen to me, I had to do things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I had to speak a certain language, and I think it was more, Ebony, a feeling of like contrast, right? So in order for us to really find out what makes us spark, to find out who we are authentically, you kind of got to have to learn who you're not. Mm. And so for me, it was just almost like feeling disgusted with myself, like, why am I talking this way? I just wasn't having fun anymore. I don't know if I can pinpoint a certain moment other than the feeling of not having fun. Mm-hmm. And of, you know, I was living in LA, my husband's a musician, and I started my business in health and wellness. And when we met, the one thing that I love about my husband, Luke, is he does not give a fuck about what other people think of him. He just doesn't care. And he's a realtor here in Sun Valley. And not in a way that is like, you know, throwing the middle finger up, I don't care about you, but he just doesn't, like, he doesn't change who he is in order to impress other people. Mm. And in real estate, anywhere, unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are rubbing elbows and ass kissing in order to make a sale. It's everywhere. It's not just in real estate. It's in every industry, right? But what I really admired about him is he never compromised who he was as a musician, as somebody with tattoos, as but also as a loving father, as somebody who really cares about other people and the planet. Mm-hmm. And when he sees that other people aren't aligned with him, he just walks the other way. He doesn't even try to gain their approval. He just finds the people who do and who does, and he connects with them. And so, long-winded answer, I think it's more of just me learning from him and learning from what lights him up and makes him happy. Is he didn't need to gain approval from anybody. He just does what feels good without hurting himself or other people. And so I learned so much from him. And so I saw my rock star musician, like, you know, traveling. And my husband's never had a full-time job, by the way. And like truly living life. And then me living in a place I didn't want to live, doing things that I didn't want to do in my business, working with clients I didn't want to work with, not having fun. And so we just left everything. We left our Marina Del Rey apartment. We traded our Mercedes wagon in for a pickup truck, filled up the pickup truck with all of our stuff, and we drove to the mountains of Idaho. And me being so connected to nature and living a simple life and loving every minute of just being with the people that I love, speaking the language that I want to speak, I think that helped me find clarity in what lights me up, so I no longer have to gain approval from those who don't agree with my lifestyle.
I love that. I love that what I'm hearing you say is that that kind of approval seeking part of us, because all of us have it, right, has been antidoted by, if that's even a word, by being unapologetic, by kind of just owning your truth, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And sadly, I see so many people out there who are, I was just on a phone call with a client and I was telling her, you know, there's so many people out there who are living a have to life versus a get to life. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, for me, before I became an entrepreneur, I wasn't very clear on what I wanted to do. So I kept getting more degrees and certifications and schooling. And so living in LA, I went to USC and I got my master's degree in counseling because I felt like I had to. And I was surrounded by all of these people who were doing things that they felt like they had to do in order to gain status or approval, rather than, hey, like, let's go travel, or, you know, like going to college versus, hey, you know, I really want to do this and learn this about my life. I don't have a college fund for my kids. I have a fund where they can put together a business plan and start a business. They can go travel if they want to. They can go to college, and they have to pitch to us why they feel like this is a great investment for them. But I don't want people to feel like they have to do anything. It should be a get to life. We only live this life once. And so why not have fun doing the things that we love rather than sitting at our computer all day long, watching TV, watching other people live their lives. Like, let's go embrace it and let's live it the way that we want to.
Yes. Yes. And I love that you don't have a college fund for your kids. I love that you've got this is a fund, right? This is a, like, go get your life fund. What do you want to do? What's going to be like your initiation into adulthood, right? Because that's essentially, to me, what college is, what going traveling is, what starting your first business is, right? It's your initiation into how many times can I fail consecutively in order to learn who I really am, what I do like, what I don't like, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what sticks.
Right. And are they going to get it right the first time?
I hope not.
Probably not. I know. It's so funny you said, I hope not. And I was like, I hope they don't. Because everything was just given to us so easily and so without struggle or without, like, you don't develop that grit, right? And
And also when something does happen, because inevitably it will at some point, if you haven't had practice at failure, if you haven't had practice at resilience and at grit and at, like, picking yourself up, dusting yourself off or asking for support or any of those things, then it's even worse, right? Like, if it happens to you in your late teens, early 20s, and, like, stuff doesn't go to plan, like, you're soft skinned, right? You bounce, like, you get back up, you just carry on. You kind of don't even notice. It's the same with hangovers. And then later, they hurt, right? Like,
oh gosh, yeah. Especially as you age. Darn it.
Yeah. And also, it's all about attitude, right? So, like, we age, but the more flexible, the more generative we have things we've worked on, right? But the more stuff we've tried, the more newer pathways we've created by doing different things and experiencing different stuff, the easier it actually is to navigate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just talking to a friend and we were talking about journey versus destination. Mm-hmm. And she's switching her business right now. She's going through a transition and really trying to find clarity of what she wants to do in the next phase in her life. And I'm like, girlfriend, you're putting so much pressure on a certain destination where you really get to enjoy the journey. Because I know for me, beginning an entrepreneur, I thought that once I became successful, I would all magically have all of my problems figured out. And then, you know, rainbows and unicorns and fairies everywhere and life would be perfect. And fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, it doesn't work that way. I still have the same problems. I still struggle, yet I have so much more fun when I go through that phase because I know that I'm learning so much more about myself. I'm so much more confident in the decisions that I make. And I just have so much more clarity. So I think a lot of it is we feel like we're so destination focused mm-hmm. rather than journey focused and having fun in the process. We put so much pressure on ourselves to achieve a certain outcome and for things to look a certain way that we forget to have fun. And before we know it, you know, life has passed us by and we're like, what the fuck did we just do? So if anything, I think for me, I'm just having so the more fun that I have, the more successful I am. And when shit comes up, because it will, and it will continue until the day that I die, I just take it and I'm like, thank you so much. I learned this huge lesson and I'm going to keep moving forward. And that's how I choose to look at life. And call it me sugarcoating it, call it me being overly optimistic, but that's what I choose. And I think it's been holding me for almost 37 years strong. So I'm going to keep going with it.
And I'm so, so similar. And I've been doing a lot of work on Jungian personality types and archetypes in the last couple of months. And one of the things that's become really clear to me is that not everyone is conscientious. And when we talk about fun, right, like we are coming from the orientation of being a conscientious person, right? Like being a kind person who genuinely cares about other people and goes out of their way often, which means that we can be overly responsible. We can be responsible for the other side of the street. We can be responsible for other people's feelings. We can be responsible for so much stuff. And eventually that leads to a place of like you were when you said, you know, I didn't want to let my parents down. I didn't want to let my kids down. I didn't want to let my partner down. That comes from a place of conscientiousness, right? Of like really wanting to be the best, do the best for everybody. And actually, like when people who come from a conscientious orientation have more fun, we're often scared that that means that we're not going to be trying or we're not going to show up or people won't realize that we care. And it's like both get to exist at the same time.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. And when I'm having fun, I'm filling up my cup. And when my cup is full, I can be of so much more service to other people. But, you know, even the other day, my girls were driving me crazy. And I have my 2-year-old who's not, she's resisting camp so much that we took her out of camp. And I had it, like, I had been watching the kids by myself for 2 days. They were fighting. hadn't taken a yoga class, hadn't had a chance to do my daily routine. I was so empty and I was reactive. I started yelling at them and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I need to take a step back because I can't be of service to these two girls if I don't take care of myself. Somebody's gonna pay the price. And so I'm not proud of that, but I say it because I know it happens. And in order to identify, like, what are the triggers to know that you haven't been taking care of yourself, so that we can be of service and so that we can contribute the way that we want to contribute. So I think that's like a big lesson I learned last week. And I was like, oh, that can't happen.
And it's still a journey, right? Like I think it's really easy to look at other people who have a successful business, or it looks like their family stuff, they've got their shit together there, or they've got their shit together in other places or whatever. And it's like, whenever you see someone who looks like they've got their shit together, I promise you they haven't. Not everywhere.
I don't. And some people show it physically and some people don't. Some people, like, you see these moms who, come out in the morning, they get their morning coffee and they're all polished with their pearls and their hair is perfect. And there are times when I look like a complete hot mess. And you know what? We're all just doing the best that we can.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a journey on any given day, in any given moment, we all have seasons and cycles. And I think it's really important to remember that, because I, like you said, rather than focusing on the destination of like, that's why for me, it's very much adulting, right? It's a verb. It's something we do. It's not just a destination. It's not just a place you end up. It's something that we have to, or get to engage with on a daily basis.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I feel like we have so much to learn from kids these days. So let's have them be part of the adulting process, shall we?
Yeah, no, totally. So much of the adulting kind of way really is rewilding,
Did you say rewilding or rewiring?
Yeah. Rewilding, like becoming more wild, like remembering what it's like to be a wildling when, like, children are just, mostly until they've been like tamed, they're just wild humans, right?
I can be wild sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
Exactly. My point. Exactly.
So fun.
Megan, if people want to come and find out more about you, about Soul Success, the work that you're doing, any of your businesses, where's the best place for them to come?
Ooh. So my website is Megan McCann with 2 C's and 2 N's yoga.com. And if you want to learn more about my events, you can go to thesoulsuccesssummit.com. We have some really fun retreats and summits coming up. And that's where I got to meet you in person.
Yay!
With such a beautiful community of women and my soul sisters. So.
Yeah, yes. It really is such a wonderful community. And we'll put all the links in, so it's really easy for people to click through. And do you have the dates, or is there anything, like, should people just go and check it out and have a look?
People can go and check it out. When is this going to air? You said October.
Yeah, October.
Okay, so my next big summit is June 13th and 14th in gorgeous Sun Valley, Idaho, and it's going to be amazing. So that's June 13th and 14th of 2020, and I have some mini retreats coming up until then, but I think that some of them will have happened before this airs.
Okay, so, and I may very well be there, because I thought I was going to be running my own retreat in June, and I don't think I'm going anymore, so you may very well see me in Idaho as well.
Please come and let me know as soon as you can if you want to.
I will. Right. Thank you. We're going to end with a little confession. So I am an adult, but what you got?
Oh, gosh. I am an adult, but this is really embarrassing. Do I want to say it?
You've started now.
I still pee my pants on the trampoline.
I think that's my favorite so far.
I can't help it after having two babies. It's impossible.
I don't know why this made me think of it. I love it when I get prompted. I do that thing when your siblings make you laugh when you're drinking water. And it used to be the most stressful thing. Like, I'd be having a drink and then one of my siblings would make me laugh. And I'd try and swallow it and, like, either choke or die. But the whole thing would be so stressful. And now, as soon as someone makes me laugh when I'm drinking water, I just turn around and spit it at them.
Does it ever come out of your nose?
Yes, absolutely. And if it's not a sibling, it's really embarrassing.
I love that. Oh, if we could all be in the place where we have so much, we're laughing so hard that water comes out of our nose, I think. That's how we know we're living a good life.
Yes. Yes. More laughter. More. Oh, thank you so, so much.
Ebony, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. I hope to see you in June, but if not, you have to come visit me.
Yes, it's on tape now. It's recorded. I'm coming at some point.
Uh-oh, I'm going to hold you to it.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.